How does a man know that he has had a second touch from heaven? What is the proof? And we have so far looked at two things that are definite proofs that will take place in the life of anyone who undergoes a second spiritual experience. Now, I think a lot of people today are interested in the spirit-filled life due to the excitement of the many testimonies that they hear and read. I've never seen so many books being published on this subject as I do today. I went in the library, I went in the bookstore the other day, and they have devoted one whole section to nothing but books written on the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I guess they had maybe 100 books. And it seems that every time I go to the bookstore, 3 or 4 new ones have come out. It seems to be the prominent subject today on the minds of so many Christians. And of the books that you pick up, one of the great attractions seems to be all the glowing testimonies of great experiences that people are having throughout the country. That is, they dwell on miracles, they dwell on healings, and they dwell on all kinds of rejoicings. But I'm convinced, personally now, that such testimonies can be misleading to people. Because I believe if a man is truly filled, this is my personal view, if he's truly filled, I believe his testimonies will take a definite direction. He'll have certain types of things that he'll talk about. He'll testify of. Now, I believe you can listen to a person's testimonies and really, after a while, tell whether he's filled or whether he's not filled. In the first place, if he's filled, he will testify or he will speak often of Jesus. He'll just talk a lot about Jesus. Because in the filling, you get a new fascination for Christ. The second thing, if he's filled, you'll hear him talk a lot about soul winning. His own personal witnessing to those lost in sin. Now, that's the second thing that you'll hear a man testify. He'll tell you soul winning stories instead of miracle stories if he's truly filled. And the third thing is, which I'll talk about this morning, if he's truly filled, he'll talk a lot about being obedient. He'll talk about being holy. He'll talk about being sanctified. For the third proof of the filling of the Spirit is a willingness to obey the Lord, which is lacking in the majority of Christian people. And you don't hear many testimonies along this line today of people who are getting up and tell that they are obedient and referring to the laws that they keep. We don't find this much anymore. And how many people who claim the filling dare speak the testimony of Paul in 1 Corinthians 4:16? They ought to. I mean, Paul was spirit-filled. Now, a man that's spirit-filled ought to be able to make this testimony. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:16. Brethren, I beseech thee, be followers of me. Now, Paul said that. He said, brethren, you look at me, and if you become like me, you'll please Christ. That's a mouthful, isn't it? That's what he said. He said, you follow me. I'll lead you. You copy my life. You talk like I talk. You think like I think. You walk like I walk. And you'll be all right. Now, brethren, that's a real testimony. And a man that makes that kind of testimony has to back his words up with his life. Paul did. I believe a spirit-filled man will back it up. Now, and remember this, in filling you with power, the Spirit not only wants Christ to be admired, he not only wants Christ to be preached, he also wants Christ to be imitated in the Christian's life. Making a believer more like the Master is the aim of the Holy Spirit in filling any believer. Look at Romans 8:29. Notice what it says. For whom God did foreknow, he also did predestinate. To do what? God has predestinated that you be conformed into the image of His Son. Now that's what God wants. Now anybody that's filled with the Spirit will be conformed into the likeness in conduct and thought of Jesus Christ. Now I believe it's only possible to a man that's filled, mainly because only he will be concerned about it. What did Jesus testify of? Now Jesus gave testimonies. He stood up. What did he talk about? What was his testimony? Listen to him. John 4:34. Jesus said, here's his testimony now, my meat, my feast, my delight, my meal, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. And that is his testimony. He stood up and he said, gentlemen, it's my desire to please the Father and to do His will. Look at John 5:30, if you will. Again, notice, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but I seek the will of the Father, which has sent me. He was Spirit-filled. He's our example. Look at John 6:38. For I came down from heaven not to do my will. Jesus didn't do His will. What are you saying? I came to the will of Him that sent me. Now the man that is Spirit-filled will be like Jesus. Moment by moment, he will determine to find out the will of his Father, and he will be determined to carry out the will of his Father. Any time that a person claims to be Spirit-filled, he is going to have to be Spirit-controlled. Otherwise, it's not legitimate. And Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrews 5:8, had to learn obedience. He didn't know it from birth. He had to study the Word just like you and I did. He had to memorize the Scriptures. He had to be in constant contact with the Father to know who to heal and who not to touch. He had to know when the money was in the fish's mouth. He didn't know that. The Father told him it was there. That's how he knew it. Jesus said, everything he did, the Father told him to do. Now he learned obedience, just like you and I are going to have to learn it. But God expects obedience out of His children. Look at Hebrews 5 now, if you will. Hebrews 5:8-9. Jesus had a will. At times, Jesus had some desires to do some things the Father wanted to do. He had His own will, but He said, I did not do my will, I did my Father's will. I let Him have control of all decisions. Now, if you will, look at verse 8. Chapter 5:8. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author. Notice now, He became the author of eternal salvation to what group of people? To them that obey Him. Huh? That obey Him. Notice the connection between obedience and salvation. Only the person who is interested in obeying the laws of God qualifies for salvation. Look at Revelation 22:14. Notice. Blessed are they that do His commandments. Notice now, it is they who shall have a right to the tree of life. It is they who shall enter in through the gates into the heavenly city. Which ones? Those that do His commandments. Didn't say know them. It says do them. Now, I wish you'd be cautious of anybody who claims the filling and talks on and on about all the blessings, but never gets around to talking about obedience. Because the blessings they're talking about just may not be coming from the Lord. I don't know where they're coming from, but they may not be coming from the Lord, because the Lord's blessings are always conditioned on obedience. Deuteronomy 11:27.
A blessing, God says. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. A blessing. On what condition? If you obey the commandments of the Lord.
Now, if we look after being obedient, I guarantee you God will take care of the blessing end. If you take care of the obedient end, He'll take care of the other one. And I believe it's nonsense for somebody to claim to be filled with the Spirit who is living in open disobedience to the known laws of God. I think that's just nonsense. Now, the promise of the filling is only for those who want to be holy in talk and walk. Look at John 14 now. John 14. Let's begin with verse 15. Now look what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Didn't say learn them. He said keep them. If you love me, keep my commandments. 16. Then what will Jesus do for me? And I will pray the Father, and He will send you what? The Holy Spirit. That He may abide with you forever. For what purpose? 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and here's your manifestation, and will manifest myself to him. How? In the Holy Spirit's filling, in the Holy Spirit's presence, in the Holy Spirit's influence. Let's go on. 23. Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And that's in the Holy Spirit. Now, brethren, if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to have to obey. You say, what do you mean, preacher? If I don't get filled, I don't have to obey. I'm not saying that either.
Yeah.
I think God leads all of his children to the point that they must seek the filling. Now, God is not going to allow anybody to run around disobedient. But I am saying the person that claims the filling has got to back it up with an obedient walk and talk. One who seeks the filling obligates himself to obey the Lord in every command he knows to be right. I said every one of them. That's right. Not only that, but the man who is filled will take the word of God and do something with it most Christians don't do. What is it? He'll go on a search looking for the laws. Now, you and I don't look for the laws. You know, we start to look for the promises. We look for the blessings. He goes looking for the laws. He says, now, what does my Father want me to do? And he begins to read the Scriptures, longing to know commands that he can obey. He sounds like a child runs up and says, Daddy, what can I do for you? That's the Spirit-filled fellow. The unfilled guy says, uh-oh, here comes Daddy, you better hide it. There's a difference in attitudes. Look at 1 Timothy 1:8. Notice, the law is good. Now, it's only good if a man uses it lawfully. That is, it's only good if you use it for good. It's only good if you obey it. Otherwise, it'll upset you. Look at Psalms 119. I've got a lot more scriptures. I don't have time. But look at Psalms 119. I want to read with you how a spirit-filled man will regard the word. Notice verse 11 first. Psalms 119, verse 11 first. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How do you hide the word? You ready? You have to memorize it. Oh, that's right. You have to memorize it. Now, the Spirit-filled man should be able to quote you the word. It's like that. Not one verse, John 3:16, but many, because he studies the word. What does it say here? Thy word have I hid in my heart. Where do you hide it? In his heart. In his heart. Not his head. His heart. Because he's going to do it. Let's go on now. 16. I will delight myself in what? The statutes. I will not forget what? Thy word. Do you forget it? Walk out the door and it's gone. Not a fit fella. Alright, 24. Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. And then look at 47, if you will, and we'll finish this one. I delight myself in thy commandments, which I love. And brethren, that doesn't talk about too many Christians that I know of that love the law and just sit down and delight in having God tell them what they are to do and what they are not to do. And they say, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to do that. I'm going to memorize that. And you watch and I'll please you now. Brethren, that's the filled person. And I know how God wants us all to be filled. And we ought to be. And there's no hope until we are. The man that's filled is willing to make sacrifices, to make compromises in what he wants to do. He's willing to make denials of himself. He's willing to restrain himself just to be holy. He'll pay the price. Take up thy cross and follow me. And he says, gladly, gladly. Almost in his mind will be desire just to please the Lord. That's what he wants to do. That's why he lives. That's his goal in life. That's his ambition. That's his purpose. To day by day say, I have pleased the Lord today. The man of the second blessing does not refrain from the most difficult laws, the ones that go contrary to his nature, that go contrary to opportunities. He does not refrain from the uncomfortable laws. He does not refrain from the objectionable laws. He does not refrain from the costly commands. He desires to know all the law and do all of it. He takes and obeys it as it comes and as he learns it. He'll go to church. Never kid yourself. He'll go. Because it's the law, but because he delights in obeying the law. He'll tithe. He'll give offerings. It's the law. And he'll do the law. He'll sacrifice. He'll witness. It's the law. He'll pray for his enemies. It's the law. He'll memorize the word. It's the law. But he delights in it. But he'll do all those things. The distasteful as well as the sweet. He'll do them all. He won't skip and choose. Psalms 119, 104. He'll still be there. Psalms 119. Notice what it says in 104. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. In other words, this fellow who is filled will come to dislike sin. He'll come to hate what God hates and love what God loves. Not only that, but he'll show in his life by evidence that he has a power over sin. Over sin. Look at Ezekiel 36:25. Ezekiel 36:25. Promise of the coming of the Spirit. Ezekiel 36:25-27. We'll just read 27. Talking about the coming of the Spirit now. And I will put my Spirit within you. And what is that Spirit going to do? And cause you to walk in my law. Huh? That's what it says, brethren, right there in black and white. When the Holy Spirit indwells a man and fills him, it is for the purpose of getting him to keep the law. I believe it's only through the fullness of the Spirit that one can be set free from the bad habits, from the evil ways, from his faults, from his sins, there's no hope unless the Spirit dominates the Christian and controls him. And it's the definite work of the Holy Spirit to lead a person out of sin into a state of holiness. That's his job. That's his work. That's his goal. That's his purpose. That's why he's down here. Say a man is filled and the Holy Spirit can't even carry out his own purpose, it's not even good logic. It's the Spirit's plan to reveal Jesus as the one that you will pattern your life after. The Spirit points you at Jesus and says, now there is a picture of the kind of child God wants. There's a picture of a Spirit-filled son. Now you look at him, study his talk, study his walk, study his work, and then you be like him. And so the more you study Jesus, the more you learn what to say, you begin to have the mind of Christ. And so the Holy Spirit shows you the Christ, the way he lived, the way he thought, the way he decided, the way he commanded. And then he says, now do just like that boy, God's only begotten son. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's what Jesus said the Holy Spirit would do when he came. In John 16:15, Jesus said he would. Now, Jesus is beheld by the Christian in the Scriptures, in his mind, in prayer, and the Holy Spirit calls to mind, remind you of things that Jesus said. Remind you of things that Jesus commanded. Remind you of things that Jesus did. And says, now you go do that likewise. You go talk likewise. You think likewise. Now a lot of people get discouraged with what I'm saying this morning because they say, well, preacher, there's no way in the world anybody can live the kind of life you're talking about. You're saying we've got to be perfect. And that's impossible. There's no way. Now, I agree with you if you're thinking in terms of what you're going to be able to do with your own ability. I agree with you. But you don't understand the feeling. You don't understand the power of God. You don't understand the keeping power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to get us out of sin. Period. He has come to stop us from willfully, deliberately, knowingly sinning. And to say he can't do it is not scriptural. Because he says not only can he do it, but he wants to do it, and you must let him do it. Now the Christian who is still operates not only his own power, but he operates on the Holy Spirit's power. And don't tell me the Holy Spirit can't keep from sinning. But he can. Therefore he can keep you from sinning. He is the one that's going to guarantee the victory if you'll let him. Look at Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit. You're not going to walk with the Spirit unless you feel. I'll tell you that. You walk away from him. You won't even recognize he's around. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will not fulfill the sinful desires of your body if you walk in the Spirit. Look at Romans 8:4. Notice now. The righteousness of the law, the righteousness doing right in obedience to the law must be fulfilled in us. How? By walking not after the flesh, but by walking after the Spirit. When one is filled with the Spirit, he's emptied of sin. It's just that simple. That's what it really means. And no one is filled who does not seek to crucify the flesh, the old sinful ways of his life, and stop pleasing himself and stop pleasing God. As long as we keep trying to please ourselves and do what all we want to do, God will never have his way. But of course, you can't say you're spirit filled and do that either. Now, many people think that all that's involved in salvation is the request that God makes son, give me your heart. And that's it. No, that's not all there is to it. He wants something else from you. He says, also, son, give me your body, not just your heart. Look at Romans 12:1 while we're in Romans. I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? a living sacrifice. That means that you stop doing what you want to do with your body and you start letting Him have full sway of it and full use of it. Your bodies become a living sacrifice. What kind? Holy. Did you get that? Holy, which is acceptable unto God, and this is your reasonable service. God is not asking too much of you when He asks that. Look at Romans 6:14-15. Notice now, not my word, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law of sin, but you're under grace. Let's go on now. What else does it say? 15. What? Shall we sin? God forbid. God forbid. The Bible does not leave us any room for sin. Not willful, deliberate, knowingly. Never do we have any room to sin. Now the Spirit in the Bible is referred to as what? The, what kind of Spirit? Holy. H-O-L-Y. The Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's His nature. And since He is the Holy Spirit, anything He feels He's going to make holy. That stands to reason. He purifies, He cleanses, He makes it holy. Now if a man is led by the Spirit, he's filled by the Spirit, he's going to have to be sanctified by the Spirit. He's going to have to be purified by the Spirit. Otherwise, he can't prove, because he has no proof. The man who claims to be filled and yet has an unholy tongue, an unholy disposition, still has evil vices, still has corrupt manners, and still has a cold attitude, is under delusion. He is not filled. He's not acting like Jesus, and he's not acting like the Holy Spirit. I don't know what he's got, but he hadn't got the real thing. He's going to have to be holy. And I believe when the Holy Spirit gets into a person's life in control, and that's what the feeling is, it gets in control. He'll change him. Brother, he'll change him. He'll do things he never thought he'd do. He'll say things he never thought he'd say. He will attempt things for God he never thought he would ever attempt for God. And he'll stop offending God in ways that he never thought he could give up. And I believe the filled person is the only one who can truly say, I am a friend of Jesus. And that's true. John 15:14, if you love me, you'll obey me. Better not he said about this question of loving him. Look at John 15:14. You talk about a loaded question you could ask somebody in witnessing. This is it, brother. You could ask them, do you love Jesus? I never heard of a witness done that way. Do you love Jesus? Boy, if they said yes, all you got to do is say, well, do you obey him? Or you could even ask this question, are you a friend of Jesus? If they said yes, you could ask, do you obey him? Look at John 15:14. Notice, you're my friends if you do what I command you to do. Many people have made such light talk about the filling of the Spirit. Today we really have gotten away from the Word. And we've got so many counterfeits. I believe there are truly people that are filled. We've got so many counterfeits and so many ideas on the subject that we're getting away from the true purpose of the Holy Spirit in dominating the Christian's life. Now the filled person becomes a friend of Christ. Why? Because they think alike. Except two be agreed, they can't walk together. You can't be friends, close friends, unless you agree. And only the person who obeys Christ is a friend of his, because only he agrees with him. He is of one mind with Christ. He loves what God loves and he hates what God hates. Now, let me say this in closing. The man who is filled is not 100% perfect. He is not entirely sanctified. He will long to be. He'll want to be. He'll try to be. And there will be times when he slips and he sins and he lets the flesh get the best of him. There will be times that he will fall, but he will not stay down 1 second. While he is down, he will be grieved. He will be upset until he finds God's forgiveness. you will get out more determined than ever to have victory the next time. But normally speaking, his life will be lived on a level keel, day by day, free of, and I underline these next few words, free of known, he'll be living free of known, willful, determined, knowing wrongs. Mainly, he'll live above it. He'll live above that level. And nothing will hurt him more than when he sins against the knowledge of what is right and wrong that he has. He will do many sins of which he has no knowledge. They are sin, for which he needs forgiveness. But I am saying, when he is filled in what he knows through the law of God, generally speaking, he will keep it day by day. As a general rule, some days he will slip. But mainly speaking, he will rise above the level of willful sin. And there's going to be a growing in grace in one who is holy, who is being sanctified. That is, as one lives obediently up to the laws he already knows to exist, as long as he obeys the knowledge he already has, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will increase his knowledge of God's laws. He will increase his knowledge of his faults and his problems. And God will slowly remove from him things he himself does not even know is wrong with him. That's growing in grace. Little by little he adds to the law. Little by little he adds to his knowledge of what he needs to do to improve his life. Look at Psalms 119 again. Psalms 119, verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Help me understand these laws that I'm reading. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. 33. Teach me, Lord, the way of your statutes. I don't know them all, but if you'll teach me, I'll keep them. Now there you are. That's the attitude of a filled man. If you teach them, I'll keep them. 34. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law. I will observe it with my whole heart. You just help me understand what you want me to do. Now, brethren, that's the kind of attitude I guess every preacher would just jump up and down the jaw over. If you just want to know what to do, then I'll tell you, you go do it. Man, I can sit here all day telling you things to do. But now that's what it's like to be filled with God's Spirit. Now the person has the power of the Spirit within. As soon as the Spirit reveals the law of God, he has the power to obey it. Because the one that reveals it is that power. And that's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can remove any sin from your life and my life that he wants to. And I want to clear up one of the misconceptions a lot of people have about this growing in grace thing. And that is, they say, well, the Holy Spirit will slowly cleanse you day by day and year by year, and you get a little bit better and a little bit better, and you pray and you work and you try real hard, and you slowly get out of these bad habits. That's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. If that's your philosophy, what would you do about a man that's a pickpocket? He said, well, now, Lord, I picked 50 pockets last month, and I'm going to have to slowly, I know, get better, so I'll only pick 40 this week. And now next month, Lord, I'll cut it down to 30. And by the end of maybe 5 years, I'll quit picking everybody's pocket. Now you say, nah, brother, that's not right. You're going to stop that pickpocket in your pocket picking right now. Just right now. Well, the guy said, well, now, Lord, I committed adultery. Woo, so many times in the past with that, I'm going to have to cut out. No, you say, no, no, brother, you're going to have to cut it out. You're not cut it down. You see, you won't give the sinner the privilege of chopping all his little sin little by little and improving himself bit by bit. Well, God doesn't give any of us that choice.
You have a temper? So, well, I'm going to improve it little by little. No, you just chop it off. I mean, chop it off right now. All together. Completely. Once and for all. Now. Gossip? Now. Finish it? Now. That's the end of it. Temper? Now. That's the end of it. Right now. No improvement. Get rid of it. Right now. That's the way God works. I mean, either you're delivered from sin or you're not delivered. Either the chains have been broken or they haven't been broken. One other. And when God breaks the chain of the bondage of sin, He breaks it. He doesn't weaken the links and stretch out the chain. He breaks it. Once and for all. And that's the end of it. That's the way He works on sin. Growing in grace does not mean gradual elimination of all your known faults. Growing in grace simply means gaining more knowledge so you can do more obedience after you've already conquered all the other faults. I believe the testimony of a spirit-filled man should evolve around three subjects. One, Jesus Christ. Two, soul winning. And three, obedience to the law. That's what his testimony will be about. Father, we give you thanks this morning for the privilege that we have to seriously consider maybe the kind of life that we know nothing about. And yet, it's the kind of life that we came and accepted Christ as Lord and Savior to give. It's the kind of life that undoubtedly would bring the greatest victory, the greatest joy, the greatest accomplishment any man could ever know. Father, may we become miserable in the life that we now have until we come to yearn and long in hunger and thirst. As Jesus said, for righteousness. For who shall be filled? Only the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. God, make us want to be right. Right with you. Right with man. Right with ourselves. Just be right with thy law. And then we'll be filled. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.